It's about 10 after 8 on a Thursday morning here on 2SER. I urge you, grab your popcorn, because it's time to welcome Michael Jones to the 2SER Breakfast Studios to talk about movies with Michael. Hey, Michael, how are you going?
Morning, Danny. Give me a tea.
Tea.
Give me another tea.
Tea.
What does that mean? It means we've got two films beginning with T.
Are the films related in any other way besides alliteration?
Not at all. No, two totally different films. One for the matinee set and one for, well, it's supposedly a film for kids, but I suspect it's more for Gen X's or late Gen Y's.
Oh, please.
Yeah, but let's go with the one for the matinee set first.
That sounds good.
That one being The Travellers, an Australian film starring Brian Brown from FX1 and FX2 and Cocktail. just kidding. He's an Australian film icon, of course.
He is.
Susie Porter from The Monkey's Mask, Better Than Sex, and Idiot Box. Luke Bracey from Point Break 2015, G.I. Joe Retaliation, and Danger Close, and Nicholas Hammond, He'll Always Be Friedrich from The Sound of Music for Me. This one's written and directed by Bruce Beresford, who's made cracking movies like The Adventures of Barry McKenzie, Don's Party, Breaker Morant, The Club, Puberty Blues, Driving Miss Daisy, and Black Robe, just to name a few. Stephen, played by Luke Bracey, is a stage designer in Europe. He has returned to Western Australia to farewell his dying mother. But when he arrives at the old family home, he finds that his dad, Fred, played by Brian Brown, seems to be struggling to cope. Is he in denial about his wife's impending death? Is he just getting more eccentric with age, or is he showing signs of dementia? Older sister, Nikki, played by Susie Porter, thinks Stephen should stick around for a while and help out. But Stephen is torn.
Oh, no.
The film never really answers those questions that I just asked. Look, there are strong performances from all three leads, though, but the story jumps around a bit, with Stephen doing most of the jumping. Is this film about coming to terms with aging and dying parents, reconnecting and reconciling with the past life you no longer recognise? Or is it reconnecting, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, with as many women as possible who for some reason don't seem to think you're a pompous, conceited jerk? The women in this film are very, very forgiving. That said, this week's plus one found much to forgive in Stephen, played by Luke Bracey. On a purely superficial four, he's a bit of all right level. But seriously, you can take a guy like Stephen seriously when he swans around country Western Australia wearing a cravat, even if he does work on operas in Europe now. Brian Brown and Susie Porter are excellent in this film too, as father and daughter. They're travellers too on life's journey, and it would have been nice to see more of their journeys from their perspectives rather than from Stephen's somewhat more condescending perspective. You know he's going to come around at least a bit, but we have to put up with a whole lot of wankery over the trip. Whilst this film does start out as a family drama, albeit with a few comedic touches, the ending is a bit of an odd one. Some might even find it a bit cheesy, but if you enjoy La Traviata and a bit of magical realism, you may get a kick out of it. Look, overall, I'm not sure The Travellers makes it all the way to its destination, but maybe it's just about the journey.
Oh, that's beautiful, mate. Plus, also a reference there to G.I. Joe Retaliation, which when it's a quiet week, we've got to go back and review that one again.
Yeah, when I'm doing streaming.
A lost classic, that one.
Oh. Speaking of lost classics, we've got a franchise now based on an old classic, Tron Ares.
Oh, Tron's back.
Tron's back. Remember original Tron from 1982? Tron Ares stars franchise killer Jared Leto. Remember Suicide Squad or Morbius, anybody? Although he was pretty good in Dallas Buyers Club. Greta Lee from Past Lives and Morning Wars, Evan Peters from the X-Men prequels, Jodie Turner-Smith from Queen and Slim and Bad Monkey, Gillian Anderson from the X-Files, and of course
Gillian
it wouldn't
Anderson.
Be Tron without the original tech dude himself, Jeff Bridges.
Oh, he's back!
Of Tron 1982 and Tron Legacy 2010 fame. This one's directed by Joachim Rønning, who made one of the Pirates of the Caribbeans and Maleficent Mistress of Evil. You might notice I didn't mention one particular name in the cast, that being Bruce Boxleitner, Tron himself. In an odd creative decision, Tron does not appear in Tron Ares. Many will say that Tron died near the end of Tron Legacy. I say he was just unconscious as he was sinking into the sea of simulation. ventilation.
That's the hill you'll die on, is it?
And yes, I will.
I'm going to get some Tron was unconscious T-shirts printed up.
Tron lives. Not that a 12-year-old in 2025 is really going to care who Tron was. Come to think of it, are they even going to care about Tron Ares at all, given that they weren't even born when Tron Legacy came out? The previous Trons, I guess, were better known for their cutting-edge visual effects rather than being really great movies. So why does this franchise keep coming back? It's quite an odd one. Anyway, one thing that won't go away is the Dillinger family. They're still around. This time, it's Dillinger's grandson, Julian, played by Evan Peters, causing grief to Encom as his company, Dillinger Systems, races with Encom to find the Permanence Code, a MacGuffin that will allow the digital and real world to interact in the real world.
Finally!
Yeah, young sociopathic Dillinger wants to use the technology to create weapon systems and profits, whilst idealistic Encom CEO Eve, played by Greta Lee, wants to use it to end world hunger and heal the sick.
Boo!
Yeah, we know who's going to come out on top in this battle. Yeah. Anyway, Dillinger Jr. thinks he has an ace up his sleeve in the form of Ares, his master control program, played by a surprisingly subdued Jared Leto. What Dillinger fails to take into account is Ares' ability to learn about the human condition every time he ventures into the real world. Cue the appearance of Kevin Flynn, played by Jeff Bridges, as some sort of hippie grid / force ghost to help guide Ares on his path to permanence. If you're expecting a deep and meaningful philosophical exploration into the possibilities and rights and wrongs of AI, you're probably in the wrong movie. The tech jargon dialogue is quite laughable in this film, but thankfully the actors know what sort of movie they're in and manage to make it sound believable and like they know what they're talking about. Even Jared Leto is bearable in this movie, possibly because he's playing a digital entity that hasn't learned how to emote and annoy people yet.
He went method for this one, didn't he?
Just like previous Trons, the story is actually pretty simple, with a touch of Terminator 2 thrown in, and it's more about cool visual effects, now in the real world too, and a pumping Nine Inch Nails soundtrack.
Mm.
The light cycles chase sequence through the streets of what looks like Vancouver was pretty awesome. It was my favourite part of the film, but there's plenty more to keep visual effects nerds amused in this one. Listen, watch and eat popcorn. Just don't think too much. It's digital jazz, man. Tron Ares, end of line? Probably not.
You had me at don't think, man. Thanks very much, Michael Jones. We'll see you this time next week, mate.
Yes, pleasure.
Feature album this week is Kanana by Bumpy. This one from it's called Nan's the Word, Tron's the Word. That's just your opinion, Tron.